What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz, presented by OTGBasketball.com and NetsRepublic.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, the great Australian, Jack Manuel. What's up, Jack?
It may surprise Buzz listeners, but Nick and I were actually talking about things other than Brooklyn Nets basketball for quite a while. So how about that?
Yeah, we could probably only do that for about 7 more days until the season starts. But but plenty of other things. We're talking a little Venom, a little Dragon Ball Super. You know, we do have life outside of the Nets in the NBA. But today we'll be talking Ed Davis, Kenneth Reed, some of the new additions. And before we get started, as always, quick reminder, check us out on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Now, these players didn't play for the Nets last year, so we'll give you a quick input on our opinion from them from last year. We'll start with Ed Davis, you know, one of the best backup centers in the league last year. You know, he was a key piece in the rotation for Portland, loved by the fans, loved by the team, signed with the Nets this offseason, 1 year, 4.4 mil.
Yeah, Nick, I think as well, when you did, when we did acquire both of these players, you did some great episodes without me. Obviously, you know, hearing an outside perspective from people in Portland and Denver. So definitely give it a listen to those episodes as well. But Ed Davis is probably the premier reserve center in the league. I put out a couple of tweets. Nicholas Turner did a great video breakdown, as he does. He's the best at that, you know, on NBA Twitter. No doubt about that. Must follow for Nets Republic. But I think, yeah, Davis was... he's going to provide so much for our Nets squad, and we've seen glimpses of it already. You know, that Detroit game, when I logged onto Twitter, you know, just after landing from Vietnam, literally I saw Anthony Puccio, Nick Fay, Nicholas Turner, Nets Daily, all talking about Ed Davis, and I'm just like, 4.4 million, it's paying itself already.
Yeah, it was a steal in free agency to get him at that price. I know a lot of teams were jealous that the Nets were able to sign him that fast and that quick on that deal because he could fit in so many different rosters with the skill set he has. And obviously, I think last year we were not Portland fans, but from the outside perspective, I think it was a success. Same thing for you, Jack.
Yeah, success. You know, if you're grading him upon, obviously, whatever you want to call it, you know, his per 36 numbers, his rebounding, his... just a overall culture fit and his, you know, ability as a teammate, his personality, success on so many levels.
Yeah, and like you said, we've already seen some of the stuff in preseason. I know, like you mentioned on Twitter last night, you know, you saw a lot of talk about the rebounding and quick minutes, and you can just see the toughness and energy and some of the veteran leadership he's going to bring. There was a couple of plays where I saw him pull Caris LeVert to the side and be like, all right, do this or whatnot, offensively and defensively. Now, talking strengths, though, like you've mentioned, you've had some good tweets on this. An elite rebounder, very good screener, brings that toughness, and like I said, he's a nice veteran to have. What are some other strengths of Ed Davis?
Yeah, pick and roll offense, I think, is an underrated strength of his. I think his ability to sort of finish plays there. His screening, I think, is really nice. His two-point field goal shooting, he knows how to just make the right shots. You know, he's always hovering around that 55 to 60% range from two. You know, his post offense, his putbacks are awesome. This is Tommy Beer on Twitter. This is per Basketball Reference. Ed Davis became the first player in over 30 years since 1986 to average over 7 rebounds per game despite playing less than 19 minutes. I wish I could come up with that stat because that is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it just goes to show you he has a really big impact in the game on the board. So, like you said, Jack, those are all the strengths. Now, weakness-wise, you know, he's not jumping through the rim. He's not a guy who's going to throw down a million alley-oops. He's not really giving you a ton scoring. Like you said, he knows his role with the layups and the putbacks and whatnot. He's not going to cross anybody up, pull up from three or anything like that. And not necessarily a great free-throw shooter. Any other weaknesses for you on Davis?
No, I was literally probably going to say all of those. I think, you know, he doesn't take perimeter shots. You know, you don't necessarily need all your big men in the NBA to take that. You know, Rudy Gobert, Steven Adams, a lot of these guys, despite, you know, the changing landscape at the NBA, you know, there's still value in, you know, old school centers, so to speak. I would like to see an uptick in his free throw shooting, you know. Rather than that, I think he had a career year last year, though. 66, 67% from there last year. Quite serviceable for a big man, but, you know, if you want to be, you know, not sort of, you know, hacked, so to speak, and be a bit more confident from the line, I'd like to see a 70% range, but, you know, that could happen. We could see that jump. We saw Jared Allen, you know, exceed expectations and then some as a free throw shooter for our Nets. You know, maybe, you know, the Nets start putting some work within there, but, you know, not a lot of weaknesses from Ed Davis in terms of overall, in terms of his fit with us and in terms of as a player overall.
Yeah, from the position he plays, there's really not a weakness when you're putting him at center. He's not a guy that's going to come out on the perimeter and lock down a point guard, but he fits his role defensively. Where would you like to see him improve overall next year, if anything?
Yeah, I talked about the free throw percentage, but I think in transition offense as well, he can get a little bit better. He's shown glimpses there in terms of with Portland and, you know, running the sort of pick and roll with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. I think because the Nets are going to probably be emphasizing quite a high pace and guard rebounding, Davis could get some, you know, easy finishes if he's running quite hard. I think that might be probably a better strength of the guy that we'll be getting to in a little bit in Kenneth Faried. But I think Ed Davis can find some, you know, easy baskets there. Or even if he's just, you know, following up the shots a little bit, which he does so incredibly well in terms of getting the offensive rebounds and, you know, the extra possessions. You know, if, you know, we're getting a long transition play, you know, someone's taking it from the perimeter and they miss it, and then Davis puts it back, bang. So I think there might be some opportunities there in transition offense.
Yeah, just running the floor hard, I think, is always a success for a big, especially if you're going to a team that probably plays with a little bit higher pace. And like you said, free throw wise, definitely jump in that area. But I think if he were to be pretty much the same player he was last year for Portland, the Nets would be happy, especially at the price they got him for. Now, how can his teammates and his coach help him improve? Well, his new teammates and his new coach.
Yeah, I think practicing is going to be really important for him to sort of learn the schemes and the tendencies of our players. You know, like I mentioned and like you mentioned, he's already shown quite a bit in the offseason. His game just fits so well as a big man, and he can, you know, enhance the level in the game of his players by, you know, making good screens, by getting the extra possessions. But if he can learn those sort of, you know, idiosyncrasies of guys like Caris LeVert, D'Angelo Russell, Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, he knows Shabazz Napier already. So I think that that's going to help just in terms of being able to develop that rapport on and off the court with the players. Is going to help his game even further, because we know he's just a very smart player and he's still, you know, only 29. So he's still got plenty of game left in him.
Yeah, learning the tendencies and chemistry with your new teammates definitely will have a help, especially with some of his pick-and-roll partners, you know, D'Lo, LeVert, Dinwiddie, and like you said, he already does know Napier. And I think another thing for the team, you know, don't ask him to do too much. You know what he's capable of doing. Don't try to put him in situations and make him do more offensively and whatnot. Keep him in his role, you know, put him in good positions with a pass. You know, sometimes you'll see a player throw a pass and they'll be caught in no man's land. You don't really want to do that. And then in terms, we've mentioned he's a really good screener. One thing when you have a good screener, be patient. They're going to create separation for you. Don't try to rush and get them called for an offensive foul. So that's pretty much some ways the team can help him improve. Now, role in the team, starter or bench player?
I think he'll be a bench starter, but a bench.
bench starter, I like it.
hybrid. But I think in that sort of sense as well, I think that if we see, you know, an injury to Jared Allen or respiratory to Jared Allen, perfect sort of makeshift starter. You know, I've talked that about plenty of other sort of players, but, you know, in terms of matchups as well, if Jared Allen isn't going so well against like an Enes Kanter like he did against the Knicks the other night, put in Ed Davis, bang, bang, perfect ready-made replacement. A guy that we certainly could have used last season for plenty of stretches. So I think Ed Davis is the perfect, you know, bench player, but has starter calibre skill level.
Yeah, no, 100% agree with that. I think he'll be on the bench, but at times you maybe start him over Jared Allen, or if Jared Allen, you know, needs some rest just because he's, you know, smaller frame and you need to kind of get some rest for that body. I think Ed Davis is a fine fill-in. Minute-wise, what do you expect?
Anywhere from sort of 16 to 20, Nick. I think that, you know, Ed Davis is a guy that, you know, proves that he can, you know, provide instant energy off the bench no matter what he does with his very versatile skill set in terms of as a defensive and somewhat offensive big. So I think anywhere from that 16 to 20 range, and I think the coaches are going to love him. So I think that we could certainly see it closer to that 18 to 20 range.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go probably with like pretty much what you said, 17 to 20. You know, I think there's some nights where, you know, Jared Allen, like we mentioned, maybe he's getting banged up by Kanter or another big in this league. And, you know, we're going to see Ed Davis play in the mid-20s. And then there's other games where maybe Jared Allen, like we saw in Detroit, is really just dominating the game in terms of rim protection, catching the oops, running the floor, where you're going to play him a little bit less minutes, or if the Nets are going a little bit more small. So I think that's right around that range, 17 to 20. But usage-wise, what do you expect to see? You know, pretty much what we saw in Portland.
Yeah, with Portland, he's had his, like, very up and down. Like, last season, it was at 9.5%, so barely had the ball in his hands. Obviously, he was basically just finishing plays for guys like Lillard and CJ, but I think that can increase a little bit. And, you know, he's had seasons where he's been at that around to 11 to 30% range, and I think that that's probably more likely. I think that we'll probably see it a little bit above 10%, because I think that Coach Kenny likes his basketball IQ from even just the organization as a whole likes his IQ and likes his fit. And I think that we might see a very minor increase from that, you know, probably into the double digits.
Yeah, I agree. I think, in the low double digits, somewhere between like 10 and 12 or something like that. Kenny also likes to see the ball move a lot offensively, even if it's just a quick pass or have him do a couple of dribble handoffs or something along those lines. I saw a couple of those last night. So I think, maybe a slight bump in the usage, but he's able to have an impact without the ball in his hands, mostly just rebounds. Stat-wise, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, we look at per game numbers, but I'll do my per game, but then I'm going to do my per 36 because I think that's what we need to sort of look at a little bit more for guys like Davis and Fried, which I've done for both. So for per game numbers, 6.7 rebounds, 0.8 blocks, doesn't look that good on paper, but when you extrapolate that, in terms of his minutes per 36, I think he could get somewhere around that 10 points, 13 rebounds, and 1.2 blocks. I think he's a double-double machine when it comes to per 36 numbers. I don't think across his entire career, if I'm mistaken, he has averaged less than a double-double. He's an absolute monster, and I think that whatever he does and whatever minutes he's given, he's going to be a very effective teammate and player for this Brooklyn Nets squad.
Yeah, I've got pretty much the same thing. I got around 7 and 7, 7.7 rebounds, a field goal percentage similar to what we've seen in the past, anywhere between like 55 plus to 60. I think it'll probably be, maybe at that 57 range. Hopefully, if you can get up the blocks a little bit, but we really care about the rebounding, having some of those monster games. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a couple like 15 plus rebound games from him when he's given more minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I salivate at rebounding. It's one thing that whenever I'm playing one-on-one against my fellow favorite Nick JBT co-host Nick Buesing, I just can't do it as much because I'm just versing him one-on-one. I'm like, I can't really show my best. But like seeing guys like Ed Davis in this squad, I love Joe Harris a lot. Everyone knows that. We've heard that plenty in the Brooklyn Buzz episodes. But Ed Davis is going to be a fan favorite, and he'll certainly become one of mine very soon, and he is already.
Yeah, he's a guy that even just watching him last night in preseason, he's just a guy that you can tell you're going to love during the season, constantly doing the dirty work, setting good screens. Like some of the screens he set, I feel like the Nets players didn't know how to react because they had so much separation where in the past, they're getting very little. So I think that's going to really help them. And like I said, I think the fans will love him too. In terms of Ed Davis long-term with the Nets, do you think there's a chance he'll re-sign after the offseason, or is it really just going to depend on the offers on the market?
Yeah, talked about this with Spencer Dinwiddie, Nick, and I think it could be a similar sort of situation. I think that Ed Davis has proven himself that he is more than this sort of exception that he sort of got at that $4.4 million range. I think he far exceeds that. But it'll be about what the Nets can get in free agency, what other teams are willing to offer him. It's going to be a virtue of what the market dictates. And that is generally how it always is when it comes to NBA free agents. We saw this offseason, the money dried up a little bit. A lot of guys took one-year deals so they could get that extra money that when the salary cap increases next year. Obviously, it's going to be very saturated. So how much is a team willing to spend on a guy like Ed Davis, who has proven plenty as a bench starter, but how much? Oh, I keep saying bench starter, but
mate, I'm
going to coin that in. He is a bench starter because he is a bench player who can put in starter level caliber. So for me, I think that it's somewhat likely because I've mentioned I'm a little less optimistic about the Nets' chances in landing a star or a very high caliber player in the going forward. But you can do worse than, adding in another year or two of Ed Davis, who's still got plenty of left in the tank for a guy who's only 29 years old.
Yeah, and he's a guy that could really pair well with Jared Allen in terms of having a backup to kind of fill in and bring that extra toughness that maybe Jared Allen doesn't have at this age. I think a lot's going to depend on his sell for, well, also the net success, which I think is, obviously going to be a big factor in every decision for player in the team in general. But I also think like how he fits with the team, how the culture kind of works with him, how he vibes with Kenny and whatnot, which we all expect to be probably positive. So I think that could factor in his decision of maybe staying in Brooklyn on not maybe a long-term deal or a deal that's like somewhat favorable to the Nets, but he's getting his money and he's really happy and living in Brooklyn and winning with his team and kind of building the culture that they have, because we've heard a lot of positive thoughts from other players about the Nets. Now, moving on to Kenneth Faried, they picked him up in the Jeremy Lin trade. It's supposed to be a salary dump. We saw what happened to Mari Carroll. Maybe there's some expectations that they can kind of revive his career. He did only play 30 games with Denver last year, not a very big role. He only really got minutes when players were banged up. What were your thoughts on Faried last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was unlucky, a matter of circumstance and a matter of situation for Farridan. Obviously, he saw those minutes when Paul Millsap was injured quite a bit. You know, he played 14 and a half minutes a game, just a little bit less. But he was a fantastic teammate. You know, he was a guy, we talked a little bit about Darrell Arthur, and you've talked about that on previous episodes as well, Nick. I think that he does think so well in terms of for the Nets. He's going to be a great rebounder. He did that very well. You know, his per 36 numbers last year, nearly 15 points and 12 rebounds. We're talking about Ed Davis. It's the perfect sort of, you know, transition guy to sort of talk about in our next sort of part of the episode. But they had very similar seasons. They have different games. They have some similarities, but they're both absolutely elite rebounders. And we're both top five in offensive rebound percentage. And I think I put that out on Twitter. But for those who don't know yet, both top five in offensive rebound percentage and are going to give us a real asset there going forward.
Yeah, no, like you said, it's just kind of talking to Brandon Vogue, who was the guy brought on for talking about Kenneth Reed last year. He mentioned just kind of the situation changing for him. You know, they went with Jokic and they had Plumlee, and they're really not going to play, you know, many bigs that can't shoot the ball. And for Reed, just really didn't fit in how things were working. And then when he did play, his play wasn't necessarily great. So I'd probably call last year a disappointment for him. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, a disappointment, but for me, it was a disappointment because of the circumstances. You know, I'm a big guy that was always been a sort of a fan of Farid. You know, I've mentioned before, I love rebounding, I love energy. And there was this article that I read in terms of a season review of his on NBA.com. You know, in transition, Farid scored 1.25 points per possession and shot nearly 70% from the field. When rolling to the basket, which we know is an absolute strength of his, he scored 1.3 points possession and shot nearly 62%. You know, he's insane when it comes to the open floor and, you know, in the pick and roll in terms of finishing vertically. I think that if he was given the opportunity in Denver and, you know, you take out Paul Millsap and you put Nikola Jokic and Kenneth Farid in there consistently, I think he would have been a perfectly fine player and may have played a lot more games. But I think, you know, due to where he was and due to the fit, you know, maybe the Nets are going to be able to reap the rewards going further. But he's going to have to earn those minutes, and it's going to be exciting to see him play tomorrow, maybe today, depending on when you listen to this episode, against Toronto for his first game for the Nets.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what he can do on the court. And like I mentioned before, obviously Damari wasn't supposed to come here and have a career year. Maybe they can get the best out of Harid. Now, talking a little bit out of his game, not as much from last year, but what we've seen in the past, you know, high energy guy, like you mentioned, a great rebounder, super athletic, can really get going in transition. Any other strengths, you know, Harid?
Yeah, I mean, his defense I think is improving, and I think that he's going to be given the hopefully the right sort of situation where that can utilize him. I think he may be a bit better in a sort of switching scheme as well. I think his athleticism should work well with that. You know, his offensive rebounding is one of the best in the league. You know, him and Davis, I don't know how we have two of the best rebounders in the league for an absolute bargain. You know, we took on one contract, got an extra pick, and we got one for less than $5 million. So I'm super excited in terms of how, you know, hopefully Coach Kenny can utilize their strengths in our system. But yeah, all the things that you mentioned, Nick, are pretty much the things that most people know about him as well.
Yeah, and weakness-wise, you know, he's not much of a shooter. Obviously, he's not going to create offensively. It's mostly going to be similar to Davis. Putbacks, you know, dunks, layups, and whatnot. He has a little bit maybe more to his game. There's been talk about adding a jump shot, but we'll kind of wait and see on that. Obviously, he's undersized the big man position. And he does, from what talking to Brendan, he did have mental lapses last year where he just, like, really doesn't pay attention or kind of loses focus. And the same thing kind of happens defensively. Where there is potential, it's just inconsistent play, and he doesn't necessarily, you know, play to his highest ability all the time on defensive end of the ball.
Yeah, he can be a little bit lackadaisical on that end, yeah, of the floor. And I think that not to insert like big dictionary words in there, but I think in terms of if Coach Kenny, if he can get, you know, consistency from his role, I think in terms of most players in the NBA, when you have your role waning so heavily, starter, bench, you know, DNPs, it's hard to remain engaged. So I think you can't fault Kenneth Farid on that sort of sense, especially with last season. But, you know, obviously in previous seasons, you certainly can because you had a little bit more consistency. But if Coach Kenny can go, okay, this is what we want from you every night. There might be nights where you might not see as many minutes, but if we see these things from you, A, B, C, and D, then you're going to earn those minutes and you'll get the on-court time. So I think, you know, going into a new situation, you know, he's in a contract season, as was Ed Davis. He's going to want to prove a lot, and I think that that's going to relate to what he can prove on the court in terms of what the coaches want from him as well. But I'm really excited to see, you know, what Davis and Free can do for this Nets squad.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, the rebounding should be really exciting, especially in an area where the Nets obviously wasn't a strength last year. Now having two guys like that, it should really boost them up in that category. What are some areas you'd like to see Fareed improve this year?
Yeah, I'd like to see him improve as a defender. I think that's the number one thing for me, Nick. You know, the Nets are preaching defense this entire offseason. And I think that we want to make a big jump there if we're going to even sniff the playoffs. And I think Kenneth Fareed will be a part of that if he is seeing some court time. You know, you mentioned that the episode you did with Brandon in terms of his sort of, you know, lack of engagement at times. If he's playing, you know, disengaged defense, you know, he ain't going to be on the floor for very long. I think that, you know, in terms of shooting, you know, maybe, you know, just that ability, and if Coach Henning can go, look, we don't care if you miss him, just take him. You know, because if we have, say, you know, a Jared Allen or, you know, some of our Trevion Graham, some of these guard rebounders out there trying to maybe get some offensive boards, maybe that becomes a bit more of a part of our game, just put him up. So maybe shooting and defense, you know, probably the two easy ones to sort of pick that I think that he can improve on.
Yeah, I think defense definitely, like you said, is an area where that'll get you on the floor. Any coach will tell you that. If you play great defense, the coach is going to find time to put you on the floor and then obviously rebound the ball like he has in the past. And I think doing, you know, taking some notes from Ed Davis and doing the dirty work. You know, Fareed is a solid guy. He's got some major muscle, set some good screens, you know, put some more effort in and just doing some of the small things and banging down low. And I think that could really help the team. And like you said, someone with a role should help this area, but maybe consistent energy across the board, offensively, defensively, running in transition consistently. But that should hopefully come with a role, leading that up to how can his teammates and coach help him take the next step.
Yeah, I think for the coaches, it's about giving him just the confidence and the green light, giving him, you know, the things that they want from, like I mentioned, the certain things, you know, do this thing, do whether it's rebounding, whether it's, you know, pick and roll, whether it's screening, whether it's, you know, defense, give him the focuses that he needs, that narrow focus. I think any person in life, you know, if you go, this is what I want from you, that they're more than likely going to be able to go, cool, this is what I need to do, I'll go out and do it for you. And they're likely to exceed those expectations. In terms of his teammates, I'm excited to see a guy like Caris LeVert, who we saw so much sort of improvement in the pick and roll last season with Jared Allen. I'm excited to see him with a rim runner and the verticality of a guy like Kenneth Fareed. I think that they're going to be some highlight plays from them next season. I think putting him in the lineups where there's some adequate shooters around him, maybe playing him at a small ball five at times, and then also defensively as well, because we know he's not necessarily the best sort of rim defender. You know, if he's playing at the five and, you know, he's not necessarily the best one-on-one defender, but if in the right schemes and in the right lineups, I think that we can see some really nice things from him.
Yeah, like you said, putting him in a position to succeed, and that comes with the coaches, that comes with his teammates. Throwing a couple oops, I think an interesting scenario would be, you know, having Crabb or Harris on the floor, running some plays where you're getting them open on perimeter, and then you have Fareed cutting to the rim for an oop. When you have passers like D'Lo, LeVert, and Dinwiddie, now, like, the offense is just really tough to defend. A lot of it's going to depend on what we see from Fareed, but like you said, also giving him a really specific role for the team and how he can help them win. Is that rebounding, setting screens, doing the dirty work, and maybe improving on that role. Now, talking about his actual role, bench or starter?
Yeah, I think it's a bench, Nick. There might be minor moments throughout the season where he fills in as a starter, but, you know, he's going to be a bench player for the Nets.
Yeah, I know some people have, like, talked about hopefully Fareed starting, but I really don't see it, especially, like, he has a lot to prove. We haven't seen that really good player we saw a few years in Denver. You know, like, he had the time with Team USA where he had some really great moments in basketball there. But other than that, like, he still needs to prove that he's even a starting caliber player or a guy that's going to deserve a lot of rotation minutes. Now, talking minutes, where do you think he'll be at?
I think it could be anywhere from 12 to 16, Nick. You know, but there might be nights where, you know, he is the guy out there and, you know, he may see, you know, in the 20s. But I think in terms of his role, you know, if you're wanting an energy guy off the bench, anywhere in that 15 range, I think is going to be good for him. And if he's providing, you know, more than adequate service as a player on and off the court, then, you know, he'll earn even more.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. I think 10 to 15 minutes, like, it's really hard to see him having a bigger role, especially with Jared Allen and Ed Davis really solidified right now. Now, usage-wise, what do you expect?
Yeah, funnily enough, he had an identical usage his last two seasons at 18.3%. So I'm going to go with 18.3%. I'm going with it again, going for the triple. That'd be nice. That'd be pretty fun to see, you know, three seasons in a row. I don't know how often that had happened. Basketball Reference would probably be able to provide us with that. But yeah, finally, two seasons in a row of 18.3%. Let's make it three with the Nets.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's the same again, like you said, but I'm thinking probably a smaller drop if he really adapts to what he needs to do for the team to help him succeed. It'll be more of the dirty work than actually touching the ball. But stat-wise, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I went with the per 36, so I'll give the per 36 as well as the per game numbers. You know, 7 points, five rebounds when it comes to per 36. I think he can average close to 15 and 15, you know, 15 points, 13 rebounds. He's just so good when it comes to what he is good at. You know, he is elite in his area when it comes to rebounding and, you know, pick and roll finishing in terms of, you know, alley-oops and verticality. So I think 7 and 5 and 15 and 13.
Yeah, I like that. I think I'll probably go with like 6 and 6. Maybe up to 8 possibly in the points per game, but it's really like he's one guy that I do not have a very good feel for what he's going to do with this team, especially we haven't seen him in preseason. Like I said, the last few years in Denver really hasn't been his best basketball, so I don't really know what to expect from Fareed. What are your thoughts on him? Is he the biggest unknown on the Nets for you?
Probably, because we don't really have much to base it on. You know, we have, you know, 30 or so games with the Denver Nuggets last season. We have his body of work before that, which we, you know, we know of him. But in terms of, I think with any player and any new player, it's about how they fit in the Nets system. And, you know, with Ed Davis, we've at least seen, you know, a couple of preseason appearances. And because this episode is coming out before the Toronto game, we can't really, you know, gauge much from what, you know, Kenneth is providing. You know, he's doing all the right things, you know, in terms of, you know, the Insta post and the Twitter post and stuff. You know, he's posting with his teammates. He's buying into the, you know, he's from New Jersey, so he's enjoying his time there. I think he's going to be a nice fit. And in terms of as a teammate, you know, we talked about sort of leadership from guys like Davis, Dudley, and Damari. I think Kenneth Freud can provide that a little bit as well. I think that he's going to be not just necessarily a good on-court fit, but I think it could be a nice off-court fit as well. I think that the Nets preach that and then some. But yeah, it is definitely very hard to sort of, you know, forecast what sort of season he's going to have. But, you know, we'll certainly be watching him and keeping up to date with you guys on the Brooklyn Buzz.
Yeah, it's like we know obviously Jared Allen's going to be the starter and then Ed Davis is going to be the backup. And now it's like, are the Nets going to play like a third? He's more so like a center in terms of his offensive skill set because he's not shooting the ball in the Nets offense. And obviously they have guys like RHJ and Jared Dudley seems to be getting the backup minutes. And then there's obviously been some talk about Rodions. So it's just like really interesting where he's going to fit with the team. Like you said, like obviously coming from the situation that he was just in, I just do not have a feeling what to expect. Like part of me could see a situation where he really doesn't play much. Like, I don't know if you could see that, but I could see a situation where he's not really seeing a lot of floor time unless it's like spot minutes in certain games. Then I see another situation where he's like all of a sudden revitalized and all of a sudden he's like putting up good minutes, good rebounds, and he looks like somewhat of what we saw in Denver in the earlier years.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, being an elite role player can get you paid in this league. You know, we saw Tristan Thompson. He got paid himself, Kenneth Fareed, in terms of a couple of seasons ago. I think he's on about 12 to 14 mil, you know, depending on the certain specific year. But yeah, I think being an elite role player, you know, you can earn your keep. You can have a very long tenured career in the NBA as a role player. And for him to prove that, you know, he's going to have to buy into what the Nets want from him. And I think that Kenneth is going to be that guy, you know, despite, you know, his lack of time last season with the Denver Nuggets, you know, teammates and coaches spoke quite highly of him. You know, there were times, like we sort of mentioned and alluded to earlier, that, you know, he was a little bit disengaged. But if you can sort of go, okay, Kenneth, there might be some nights where we might not see this out of you against sort of certain teams, you know, small ball teams. You might not be a perfect fit against a team like a Boston or the Golden State Warriors at times without DeMarcus Cousins. But, you know, you will see the minutes, you know, where, you know, there are going to be injuries and we're going to need you to be ready. And I think, you know, Kenneth, if he buys into that and Fred buys into that, then he'll earn his keep. And, you know, he might be a Net or he might earn another contract somewhere else.
Yeah, dude, that's my last question. Do you see a scenario where he ends up with the Nets the following season, or this is kind of just a one-year thing? We took him as a salary dump, and then he'll sign with another team.
Oh, well, look, Damari was a two-year salary dump, so I think it's you go by what's happening there. But I think that, you know, he's still got basketball left in him, Kenneth Fareed. Whether it is that's the Net, you know, I'd probably rather have Ed Davis if I'm prioritizing the two bigs. But at the same time, You know, it's going to be about if Kenneth Freud can show enough adjustment to his game to sort of fit a little bit more. You know, if we're playing him as a small ball five, can he show adequate minutes there? If he can, then if we were to lose Ed Davis in free agency, then, you know, there would be a possibility that we could keep Kenneth Freed going forward. But I think it's more than likely that we'll see him elsewhere. But don't quote me on that necessarily.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's more likely to see him elsewhere unless he were to really have like a season where he jumped out of the gym. Like, I guess like a best case scenario for him is obviously offensively working in transition like we talked about, and then him being like a supercharged Reggie Evans where he's just like racking up the boards and he's bringing a ton of instant energy off the bench in like a smaller role. But any last thoughts on Freed, Jack?
Very much looking forward to Kenneth Freed and Ed Davis and what that can provide our Nets going forward in terms of they've just got such a skill set that we lacked so heavily last year, and it gives us a real new dimension. So super excited for that. Mini plug for JBT. We've got a big season preview coming, guys, on my page at the JMN JBT. Got a few polls going. We'll be referencing them. Slide into my DMs. Shoot us an email, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. That's going to be massive. The Brooklyn Buzz is going to be massive. It's going to be a huge, huge year for OTGBasketball.com.
Yeah, make sure you check out Jack's season preview. Him and Nick always do a great time. It won't be myself. It's Australian Nick, JBT Nick, and they're always cracking jokes on there. Also, if you're looking for a full-out preview series on the NBA, like Corey and I have just almost done with all 30 teams, I think we'll be having 4, 3, 2, and 1 drop later this week. But as always, guys, thank you for listening. Jack, always a pleasure talking hoops. Check us out, iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and NetsRepublic.com.